Blog Talk Radio.
There is a watchman on the wall, bringing forth the written word of God to one and all. Are you getting ready? Will you stand or will you fall? Listen to the watchman on the wall. Listen to the watchman on the wall. Listen to the watchman on the wall.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to The Watchman here on the Omega Radio Network. It's 9 a.m. Central Standard Time on the 7th day of December 2017. Today we remember Pearl Harbor, and I want to read a little bit about Pearl Harbor, but first I want to bring some refreshing scriptures out into the light of your heart and mind today, and I want to begin in Luke chapter 6, verse 20. Luke chapter 6, verse 20, and here's what we read. He lifted up his eyes on his disciples and said, are you a disciple of Christ, by the way? Of course you are, and so am I. Blessed be you poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you that hunger now, for you shall be filled. Blessed are you that weep now, for you shall laugh. Blessed are you when men shall hate you, and when they shall separate you from their company, and shall reproach you and cast out your name as evil for the Son of Man's sake. Rejoice ye in that day and leap for joy, for behold, your reward is great in heaven. For in the like manner did their fathers unto the prophets. But woe unto you that are rich, for you have received your consolation. Woe unto you that are full, for you shall hunger. Woe unto you that laugh now, for you shall mourn and weep. Woe unto you when all men shall speak well of you, for so did their fathers to the false prophets. But I say unto you, which hear, love your enemies, do good to them which hate you, bless them that curse you, and pray for them which despitefully use you. And unto him that smites you on the one cheek, offer also the other. And him that takes away your cloak, forbid not to take your coat also. Give to every man that asks of thee. And of him that takes away your goods, ask them not again. And as you would that men should do to you, do ye also to them likewise. For if you love them which love you, what thank have you? For sinners also love those that love them. And if you do good to them which do good to you, what thank have ye? For sinners also do even the same. And if you lend to them of whom you hope to receive, what thank have you? For sinners also lend to sinners to receive as much again. But love ye your enemies, and do good, and lend, hoping for nothing again. And your reward shall be great, and you shall be the children of the Highest. For he is kind unto the unthankful and to the evil. Be ye therefore merciful, as your Father also is merciful. Judge not, and you shall not be judged. Condemn not, and you shall not be condemned. Forgive, and you shall be forgiven. Give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that you meet withal, it shall be measured to you again. And he spoke a parable unto them. Can the blind lead the blind? Shall they not both fall into the ditch? The disciple is not above his master, but everyone that is perfect shall be as his master. And why do you behold the mote that is in your brother's eye, but perceive not the beam that is in your own eye? Either how can you say to your brother, "Brother, let me pull out that mote that is in your eye," when you yourself behold not the beam that is in your own eye? Hypocrite, cast out first the beam out of your own eye, and then shall you see clearly to pull out the mote that is in your brother's eye. For a good tree brings not forth corrupt fruit, neither does a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. For every tree is known by his own fruit. For of thorns men do not gather figs, nor of a bramble bush gather they grapes. A good man, out of the good treasure of his heart, brings forth that which is good, and an evil man, out of the evil treasure of his heart, that which is evil. For of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaks. And why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? Whosoever comes to me and hears my sayings and does them, I will show you to whom he is like. He is like a man which built a house and digged deep and laid the foundation on a rock. And when the flood rose, the stream beat vehemently upon that house and could not shake it, for it was founded upon a rock. But he that hears and does not is like a man that without a foundation built a house upon the earth, against which the stream did beat vehemently, and immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Once again, welcome to this Watchman program on the Omega Radio Network. We've got a good 55 minutes or so to spend together, and I thought, how refreshing just to get back to the Gospels and hear the teachings of our Lord Jesus Christ. And when you read those words, they are so beautiful and penetrating, and they are so full of light and truth that really they expose our innermost being. And one of the scriptures that really stood out to me as I was reading this was the verse that was talking about, can the blind lead the blind? Shall they not both fall into the ditch? Well, this morning I received a text message from a dear brother, and he sent me a poem of what the watchmen are to be. You don't want to have a blind watchman, do you? I mean, you don't want to be a blind watchman, do you? No. So here's the poem that was sent to me this morning, and my friend started with Ezekiel 33, 1-4. The word of the Lord came to me, son of man, speak to your countrymen. And here's the poem. Who will ascend the steps and heed the call? Who among you will be God's watchman on the wall? A house divided cannot stand. Oh, the certainty of the ruin of man. Prepare to sound the trumpet blast. The hordes from hell soon loosed at last. Tolerance and sin will run its course. The time for repentance, no more a choice. War and destruction all around. The spirit and security of God no longer found. They put their trust in their own way. No escape for them now, forced to stay. The sword of God, how sharp the blade. Now they face the eternal mistake they made. No safe place to run, no place to hide. Death, disease, and destruction now at their side. The sword of God drawn from the sheath. If only the blood they'd bend beneath. Their cries for help no longer heard. If only they'd listen and obeyed God's word. Satan's deceit has caught his own. But God still rules and judges from his throne. Time is short now. Hear the call. Who will be God's watchman on the wall. Will you wait in silence or heed God's call? Who among you will warn them of the coming fall? Yes, the watchman is to be watching. And you talk about getting an assignment. You think about, you know, what your life's value is and what the meaning of your life is. We are now about 12 days into a supernatural moment in the economy of God, where God has promised you, God has promised all who have an ear to hear, that this is a moment where he's going to open up the heavens. He's going to impart something very rich and deep and spiritual in nature in the innermost part of our being, that there's going to be an outray, a bursting forth of that light of Christ, that wisdom of God, that clarity, that truth, that righteousness. That is going to burst out of individual men and women of God all over the world like a absolute nuclear bomb, like the sun shining in its strength sevenfold. Ladies and gentlemen, God has told us that this is a time of impartation and writing the message upon the fleshly tablets of the heart to give assignment. And I want to share one thing about an assignment. I want to give you, this is what I believe God is clarifying in my heart as far as, you know, when we're saying things like, you have an assignment, you need to take this very seriously. Here is one of the great assignments that is recorded in Scripture, and I'm going to pick it up, but you probably already know the first part of this very clearly. So I'm going to begin in Acts chapter 10, verse 28. Acts chapter 10, verse 28. This is the kind of an assignment that you need to be looking for and become aware of that God is bringing to your attention. This is awesome. This is the story of the Apostle Peter, who had been up on the upper roof by the seashore taking a nap, waiting for a meal. That's how this whole chapter begins, but I want to save a little time. And while he's, you know what? Let's go. Let's go to verse 1. Let it speak for itself. Here we go. Acts chapter 10, beginning in verse 1. There was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of the band called the Italian band. Now listen, everybody pay very special attention. We're talking about the Italians now. You know what I mean? All right. So anyways, this is so awesome because, you know, it just is what it is. What can I say? The Jews and the Italians, what are you going to do? Anyways, there was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius. He's a centurion of the band called the Italians, a devout man, praise God, and one that feared God with all his house, which gave much alms to the people and prayed to God always. He saw in a vision, evidently about the ninth hour of the day, an angel of God coming into him and saying unto him, Cornelius. And when he looked on him, he was afraid and said, What is it, Lord? And he said unto him, Your prayers and your alms are come up for a memorial before God. And now send men to Joppa and call for one Simon, whose surname is Peter. He lodges with one Simon, a tanner, whose house is by the seaside. He shall tell thee what you ought to do. When the angel which spoke to Cornelius was departed, he called two of his household servants and a devout soldier of them that waited on him continually. And when he had declared all these things unto them, he sent them to Joppa. Now, they're on an assignment, aren't they? I mean, Cornelius just received an instruction from an angel. Now, Cornelius is getting his men and sending them on an assignment. At this moment, Peter doesn't have a clue what's going on. He's just simply hanging out by the seashore. And verse 9 goes on to say, On the morrow, as they went on their journey, they drew nigh unto the city. Peter went up upon the housetop to pray. Now, I want you to get this. This is the next day, and it's on the next day that Peter's going up to a place to pray. So Peter didn't even know that the God and the angel was having a conversation with Cornelius the day before, and yet God's already telling Cornelius, go get Peter. He's got something to say to you. Peter doesn't even know they're coming. Peter doesn't have anything to say to the Gentiles, these Italian Gentiles. He doesn't have a clue. This isn't even in his realm of anything, and yet, verse 9 again, on the morrow, as they went up on their journey and drew nigh unto the city, Peter went up upon the housetop to pray about the sixth hour, and he became very hungry. and would have eaten. But while they made ready, he fell into a trance and saw heaven open, and a certain vessel descending unto him, as it had been a great sheet knit at the four corners and let down to the earth, wherein were all manner of four-footed beasts of the earth, and wild beasts, and creeping things, and fowls of the air. And there came a voice to him, "Rise, Peter, kill and eat." But Peter said, "Not so, Lord, for I have never eaten anything that is common or unclean." And the voice spoke unto him again, the second time, "What God has cleansed, call not thou common." This was done three times, and the vessel was received up again into heaven. Now, while Peter doubted in himself what this vision which he had seen should mean, behold, the men which were sent from Cornelius had made inquiry for Simon's house, and stood before the gate, and called and asked whether Simon, which was surnamed Peter, were lodged there. And while Peter thought on the vision, the Spirit said unto him, "Behold, three men seek thee. Arise, therefore, get thee down, go with them, doubting nothing, for I have sent them." Now, let's put this together just for a minute. I mean, on another side of the state, so to speak, right? Another side of the city, here is a Gentile man, an Italian leader of the Italian band. He's military. He's got a household. He's a praying man. He's a giving man. And the angel of the Lord appears to him because God has a purpose, doesn't he? Does God have a purpose? Yes. And 12 days ago, a week ago, last Monday, we came on the air and we had a prophetic word that God wants his purposes in the earth to be accelerated. He's going to rev things up. He's going to quicken things. He's going to do things in his people that are supernatural. And we talked about Elijah running for 40 days and 40 nights on one meal from an angel. The angel gave him an assignment. The angel gave him food. He ran. So we saw the acceleration. God has a purpose on the earth. He's employing vessels that are available unto him. And this Italian had everything to do with what God's eternal purpose was, which you're going to see in a moment. You probably already know. It was bringing the Gentile nations of the earth into covenant through the blood of Jesus Christ with the Jews. Now, this was unthinkable at the moment, but this was a paradigm shift. This was a move of God Almighty that was world-changing. And we're seeing in this hour that the Spirit of God is saying to us that God wants to do something to accelerate his purpose, which means we have to give up our own agendas. We have to give up our own purposes and our own dreams. We must be available to be employed by God to enter into what he's doing that is going to be much larger than anything we would be doing in our own little sphere of influence. There's something great about to happen on this earth from the perspective of God Almighty, while at the same time, the darkness is growing darker than ever before. All right, so we get to verse 21. It says, Peter went down to the men which were sent unto him from Cornelius. And he said, "Behold, I am he whom you seek. What is the cause whereof you are come?" Cornelius, the centurion, a just man, and one that fears God and of good report among all the nations of the Jews, was warned from God by a holy angel to send for you into his house and to hear words of you. Then called he them in and lodged them. And on the morrow, Peter went with them, and certain brethren from Joppa accompanied him. And the morrow after, they entered into Caesarea. So here goes Cornelius's men. Peter's going. He's got some brothers with him. And the next day, they entered into Caesarea, and Cornelius waited for them and had called together his kinsmen and near friends. Now, I want you to get this image. This is extremely important. Cornelius is an Italian. He lives in Caesarea. He calls all of his friends and family into a house. They're all waiting for this man of God to come and talk to them. But can you imagine, as Peter was approaching that house, the smell of garlic and spaghetti sauce and all the oregano? Come on. The Italians knew how to do this stuff, right? So there must have been a tremendous meal being prepared with those friends. That's just my interjection. Anyways, verse 25, as Peter was coming in, Cornelius met him and fell down at his feet and worshiped him. But Peter took him up, saying, "Stand up. I myself also am a man." And as he talked with him, he went in and found many that were come together. So they're getting ready to have a church meeting, right? The Gentiles. He said unto them in verse 28, you know how that it is an unlawful thing for a man that is a Jew to keep company or come unto one of another nation. But God has showed me that I should not call any man common or unclean. Therefore came I unto you without gainsaying as soon as I was sent for. I ask therefore for what intent you have sent for me. So at this point, Peter really doesn't have a clue. He just knows that, okay, I'm in this Gentile house. God showed me the day before that, you know, don't call anything uncommon or unclean. So I'm here. All right, guys, what do you want? Now, in verse 30, Cornelius said, well, 4 days ago, I was fasting until this hour. And at the ninth hour, I prayed in my house, and behold, a man stood before me in bright clothing and said, Cornelius, thy prayer is heard. Thine alms are had in remembrance in the sight of God. Send therefore to Joppa, call hither Simon, whose surname is Peter. He is lodged in the house of one Simon, a tanner, by the seaside, who, when he comes, shall speak unto you. Immediately, therefore, I sent to thee. Thou hast well done that thou art come. Now, therefore, are we all here present before God to hear all things that are commanded thee of God. So now it shifts again. We did what God told us to do. You've obeyed it. God set that all up. You're here. So what do you say, Peter? And 34. Peter opened his mouth and said, of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons, but in every nation, he that fears him and works righteousness is accepted with him. The word which God sent unto the children of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all. That word, I say, you know, which was published throughout all Judea and began from Galilee after the baptism which John preached, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. And we are witnesses of all things which he did both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom they slew and hanged on a tree. Him God raised up the third day and showed him openly, not to all the people, but unto witnesses chosen before of God, even to us, who did eat and drink with him after he rose from the dead. And he commanded us to preach unto the people and to testify that it is he which was ordained of God to be the judge of the living and the dead. To him give all the prophets witness that through his name, whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sins. What is Peter doing? Peter is preaching the basic fundamental gospel of Jesus Christ. He is preaching about Jesus being hung on a tree on the cross. He's telling them about being raised on the third day. He's talking about how they ate with him after his resurrection and how he commanded them to go and preach to the living and to go forth with this message and to those who were dead in the spirit as well. And then he talked about the forgiveness of sins. What is Peter doing? The gospel that Jesus preached and lived out, that gospel. Now, Peter, who they were once telling all the Jewish people, this was first to the Jews, but now he's proclaiming this message, this gospel to the Gentiles. And then we're told in 44, while Peter yet spoke these words, while he was speaking the simple gospel, the Holy Ghost fell on all them which heard the word. And they of the circumcision which believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. For they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. Then answered Peter, can any man forbid water that these should not be baptized which have received the Holy Ghost as well as we? And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. Then prayed they him to tarry certain days. Ladies and gentlemen, it's a cool story. And there's just a tiny bit of humor in the midst of it. But I want you to know that on the earth 2,000 years ago, when this story was taking place, there were people on assignment. Angels were on assignment to get a word to a praying man. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, was on assignment getting revelation from the Spirit in a vision, in a trance. Then the assignment that everybody's caught up with, where these men go to get Peter, and Peter comes back with them, and the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. You see, this was all a part of the eternal purpose of God to bring the revelation of the gospel, the kindness, the grace of God to the ends of the earth. But it did begin with the Italians. You got to love that. Anyways, so what am I saying? There are moments in the economy of God. They are literally called dispensations. Dispensations. And if you mark the beginning of the church age with the founder of the church, the head of the church, Jesus Christ, from the day that he showed up on this planet and began his ministry, there was a shift. Things began to change in the life of Jesus Christ, in the death, burial, resurrection, ascension of Jesus Christ, in the birthing of the church. We saw one reformation after another, one dispensation. Now, in Acts chapter 10 comes the dispensation of the time in the economy of God where now it was time to welcome the Gentile nations of the earth into salvation, to bring the grace of God to the Gentile nations of the earth, the mercy of God, the kindness of God, the covenant of God, the goodness of God, to reach out to every creature on the face of the earth. That was not expected by Peter. That was not expected by the Jewish believers. That was a paradigm shift that they could have never made up. It was God's intent to bring a revelation on this earth and to employ whatever vessels were available to him. Now, we declare today, on the seventh day of December 2017, that God is telling us another paradigm shift is coming. And I believe that it will have its foundation and roots in the Old Testament, because if you go to the Old Testament, it is written that a time would come that the Gentiles would come to the light. So we're not talking about something that's going to happen beyond Scripture, but there's something in the Scriptures that has not yet been fulfilled that must needs be fulfilled. You and I are here. God, it doesn't make sense to us now. We're like Peter that are just simply hungry, waiting for some food, hanging out by the seaside. You know, really not understanding even when visions and trances come. We don't know what God's doing last night in somebody else's house. You know, there was another guy that he woke up and he said, so-and-so, get up, and I want you to go to a street called Straight, and I want you to lay your hands on a guy by the name of Saul, and I want you to speak these words into him and pray for him. Another assignment. Listen, it's just about being caught up in the assignments of God in a moment where everything is shifting. You are witnessing on the dark side the growing darkness, the consternation, the end time events that are written in the Bible, wars, rumors of wars, famines, plagues, floods, earthquakes. I mean, everything. The world is convulsing right now. The days of rage coming up because of the decision yesterday. The fires burning in California. You say, well, these things have always happened. You will see the intensification, and war will break out. We are in the year 5777, and in the Hebrew, that means gray, lead, and pulverize. We've already seen the pulverizing events with six hurricanes. Come on, ladies and gentlemen. The world is spinning out of control, and those who once laughed are going to weep and mourn according to the gospel of Jesus Christ. We are living in a time, but there's something here that the darkness is growing dark and the light is getting brighter than ever before. And that light is Christ. It's truth. It's wisdom. It's revelation. It's knowledge coming from where? From within you, because Christ is in you. And the light of truth that is in you must go out, not in actual physical light, but the light of understanding that you're literally going to walk into someone's darkness. You're going to speak the words of God, and truth is going to dawn upon them. They're going to come out of darkness and be led into the light. But this is going to happen exponentially with vessels all over the world, because God is ready to do something in this hour. And it is not small. It is huge. And there's an assignment, just like Elijah. Go and anoint the king of Syria. Go and anoint the king of Israel. Go and raise up Elisha, the prophet that will stay in your stead when you go away. You see, we're in something right now. And Acts chapter 10 is a paradigm shift. It's a huge moment. And yet it was concealed in the Old Testament, and it was revealed in the New Covenant. And so there are yet concealed things in the Old Testament that need to be revealed in this earth that have not yet been revealed in this earth. And we have to find out, what is it, Lord? What are you about to do? Now, Peter read the Bible, but yet he didn't come to a revelation on his own and say, oh, look, the Bible says over here that the Gentiles are going to come in, so we better go find out how to get the Gentiles. No. It was in God's time. It was hidden until God said, there's something about to dawn on you. There's something about to dawn on me and around the world. There's a dawning. There's a new day dawning. There's a new light rising, and the day star is arising in our hearts with wisdom and understanding and revelation and knowledge, so that we will be about our Father's business on assignment. Every single person that is willing to be employed into the kingdom ministry is going to be available to God. This is the day like Jesus walking along the seashore, seeing a few men mending their nets and said, come follow me. This is the days of Jesus walking by the tax collector Matthew saying, leave that, come and follow me. I've got work for you to do. I'm going to make you fishers of men. Ladies and gentlemen, we're not in a season where we're just going to repeat what's already been done. There is something ready to happen. I don't know what it is. I cannot even begin to fathom what it is, but I know it's there. I feel like maybe I've sat on the top of a roof and I had a vision or a revelation of understanding that we're in a moment where something's ready to change, but I don't get it. I don't understand it. And I believe around the world, there are men and women of God that are getting this understanding as well, because God is doing something. And our heart is, I want to be involved with what God is doing. I desire to get involved. I am willing, Lord. I am a willing vessel. You could take me out of my fishing business. You could remove me from my tax collector business. I will follow you. I will go where you want me to go. There's nothing holding me back. Nothing is restraining me. I'm available. Well, that's a nice thing to say. But again, when God employs us, our hearts better be cleaned up. The same Peter that was employed into this massive movement, you know, earlier, he was the one denying Jesus. He had to go weep bitterly. He had to deal with his inner self, because he was the one that said, oh, Lord, I'll go with you wherever you go, even unto death. And yet he saved his own life when Jesus was being crucified. Yes, people have to be taken to the end of themselves. They have to be absolutely dead on the tree with Jesus. The old nature has to be eradicated with a death blow. The same nails that held Jesus into that tree are the same spikes that are to hold you and I. We must experience a death blow before God could ever employ us into his work, or else we'll get caught into the work of God and we'll get fleshly, because our flesh is still too active, and we'll mess up the purposes of God. God will never employ a vessel into his business, especially with this dispensational thrust that is upon us right now, with people that are uncrucified, people that have been unwilling, people that have been holding back, people that are restrained, people that have their own agenda. No, it's not wrong to have a plan for your life, but there's something on the deepest inward parts that says, Lord, I'm willing to give up my plans. But there's also a need for transformation. There needs to be a cleansing of the conscience. The justification of Christ must work deeply in the heart of everyone that God will employ. I think we get that. Now, I want to read one thing and give you an example of what I'm saying, that I'm not making these things up. But I want to go to Ephesians chapter 1 briefly. And I want to read out of verse 9, all right? Ephesians chapter 1, and let's start in verse 8. It says, and this is simple, wherein he has abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us, watch now, he made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he has purposed in himself, listen, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him. Watch this now. We're talking about a dispensation. Paul the Apostle had a revelation 2,000 years ago, and he spoke of a final dispensation. And he said that in the dispensation of the fullness of times. In other words, this is called a kairos moment in the Greek. This is a time of opportunity. It's known as a ripe season in the Greek. A ripe, rich, opportune moment from the perspective of heaven. It's when God is in heaven and he says, now is the time. And he looks upon this linear earth. God is not limited in linear time. He's way outside of time. He is in the chronos of time. We have he's in the kairos of time. We're on the chronos timeline, the linear. The kairos is all encompassing. And so whenever God says, now is the time, then he does something. It was said that in the dispensation of the fullness of time, in Galatians 4, singular, that God sent his son. In other words, there have been dispensations from the beginning of time, and at certain moments, God said, now is a time for another movement. And so certain things would happen. And in the dispensation of the fullness of time, Jesus came into this earth. That was ordained by God. He didn't just show up happen chance. It was ordained that he would come 2,000 years ago for God's own reason. Well, Paul says here that in the dispensation of the fullness of times, in other words, this is the culmination of the ages, that God is going to gather together in one all things in Christ. So is that found in the scriptures? Yes, in Matthew chapter 24, at the second coming of Jesus Christ, the trumpet will sound, the angels will go forth and gather the elect. We who are alive and remaining will be caught up to meet them in the air. We're all going to be gathered together. He's literally talking about a dispensation in the economy of God at the rich, ripe, opportune moment when God is going to gather together everyone and everything that's in his son, Jesus Christ. Man, that's amazing. Now, is this that moment? I don't know if this is that moment, or is there something else? But there is something, and we just need to become aware of it. So what are we saying all this for? And I do want to share one more thing with you before I move on. I want you to know this is not make-believe stuff. Some of you may have already heard this story, but I want to share it with you one more time for those who have not heard the story. And I am not going to exaggerate. I am not going to do anything but tell you exactly what happened. It'll take me just a few minutes. It's a personal story in my own life. Little old simple me. And this happened, I would guess at this point, probably about 12 years ago. This was about 12 years ago. We were living in Temecula, California. I had a dear friend of mine. His name was Benjamin Baruch. Some of you have read his book, The Day of the Lord is at Hand. Well, Benjamin and I used to do radio together in Southern California. And after one particular meeting, he said, "Hey, I want to bless you with something." And he took me down the road to a place where there was is Dr. Mick Hall. It's called the 30-Day Challenge. And Benjamin said to me, "I want to buy you this. It's to clean up the seven pathways of your body." Long story short, I got this product. We're living in Temecula. It's a 30-day challenge, and you basically don't eat anything for a long time. You have some fruit once a day, salad once a day, and then it's all vitamins. And the whole purpose of this thing, which I'll explain in a moment, is to get all of your body cleaned up. Clean up every single organ, the blood, the cells, the colon. I mean, you talk about getting cleaned up. This 30-day challenge was intense. Now, I'm on the 13th day of this 30-day challenge. It's a Thursday, and when I do radio in California, right down the street, a mile away, was the TBN, Trinity Broadcasting Network in Costa Mesa, California. And I used to go there after every radio show once a week, and I'd go there and have a tuna fish sandwich, and there was a nice lady that worked there, and her name was Joy, and she was a very dear friend, and she was an elderly woman, and I would come in, and we just became friends. And I would go, because Thursday nights, TBN had all the different speakers come in, and they would do their praise-a-thons or whatever they were doing on Thursday nights. Well, on this particular Thursday night, I went there, but I wasn't eating, so I didn't have my tuna sandwich. I didn't eat anything. And I went into the studio, and I met a gentleman who's a singer. If I could just remember his name, it would be absolutely awesome. You'd know him in a second. He was one of the old-time singers on TBN. He and I met. It was a quick shaking of the hands and a knowing in the spirit of something really good, and we just hit it off. It was perfect. And I remember that I went through that Thursday night, and in the back of the studio, someone had fell down dead. And nurses came in there, people gathered around this person, and 15 minutes later, this guy is up and walking around again and giving his testimony what had just happened. He must have had a heart attack. He died. He stopped breathing for a period of time. They brought him back to life by prayer. I watched this whole thing happen. So the meeting goes on, and in those days, you had Nasser Siddiqui was there. You had, oh my gosh, there were so many different speakers that were there, and there was one that I will remember the name in a second. The next day, Friday, I'm a little restless. I'm deep into this fasting time. And I think, well, I'll go play tennis. And I thought, nah, I don't want to play tennis. Well, I'll take Patricia out. It's Friday night. I'll take her to a movie. We'll go out to dinner. No, didn't want to do that. It was just something was lacking. Patricia was enjoying what she was doing. She was on the computer writing. So I said, well, it's time. I may as well get and jump in the bath and take one of my baths because this fast here included taking these toxin baths where he pulls out all the metals and everything. So I'm in the bathtub. I'm laying down. And I tell you that before me, it appeared like a television screen showed up near the ceiling. And I began to watch this entire picture go on in my mind. And what I'm seeing is me getting out of the bathtub, getting dressed, getting in my car, driving to Costa Mesa, which was an hour and a half away. And I have a message in this video that I'm watching. I have a message that I'm supposed to give to Paul Crouch Jr. Paul Crouch Jr., you know, his father was the head of the whole thing. And Paul Crouch Jr., he was kind of running things this particular week. It was around Passover. And there was the Italian guy. He dresses kind of funny. I forget his name. I'll remember it. And I have a message for him. So I get these two messages in the spirit as I'm watching this in the bathtub. It's so real to me. I jump out of the bathtub. I run in the shower. I rinse off. I throw on a pair of Levi's, a shirt. I don't even mess with my hair. I take my fingers, run it through. I run through to my computer. I get something I had written, and I'm now ready to go to Costa Mesa. Patricia said, you got to get off this fast. You're going crazy. What are you doing? It's Friday night. And, you know, at this point, it was around 7 o'clock and 7:15, whatever the time was. And I said, listen, I've got to go. The Lord just told me that I have to go talk to Paul Crouch Jr. And I have to talk to this little Italian guy. It's true. You'll remember him. He's all over TBN. He dresses weird. But this little Italian guy, I've got to talk to him. I've got a message for them. And Patricia thought I was insane. Well, they're there, and they always get out at 9 o'clock. And I'm about an hour and a half away. So I get into my vehicle, and I realize there's not enough gas to make the trip. So now I got to go to the gas station, and I'm thinking to myself, while I'm in motion, you are crazy. What are you doing? You've lost your mind. But that vision was so real. It was so real to me, and I thought, I'm not going to ignore that. And so I go to the gas station. I get in the car. Meanwhile, the Holy Spirit's talking to me saying, calm down. I've got this. Calm down. I've got this. And so I get on the freeway after getting my gas. I fly up 15. I get on to 91, and I cross over and head west on 91. I finally make it into Costa Mesa, and I get there in supernatural time. It's about 15 minutes until 9 o'clock. So that's really good time. So I show up. I've got flip-flops on, a pair of Levi's, a shirt hanging out of my pants. My hair's all messed up, and there's a bunch of people by the studio outside waiting for the doors to open and their friends to come out. And there's over 300 people in the studio. And I don't know how many people were in this hallway. And I'm sitting there, and I just lean up against the wall and I go, man, this is crazy, Lord. What am I doing here? I don't even know Paul Crouch Jr. I've never even met this little Italian guy, this preacher that's on TBN this particular night. He was in the studio. And I don't know these guys. And the Lord just said, I've got it. I've got it. 15 minutes later, the doors open, and who opens the door but my friend Joy. And she says, well, hello, Pastor Vincent. And I'm still rubbing my hand through my hair, trying to not look a mess, and say, hello, Joy, how are you? And she says, good. And now the people start pouring out, and there's all this stuff going on, and I'm still talking with her. And I said, she said, come on in to the studio. And when I went in, the singer that I met the day before yesterday, he was there. And I was reintroduced. He says, hey, Pastor Vince, how are you? And I said, I'm doing good. I said, you're not going to believe this. About 2 hours ago or so, I was in my bathtub in Temecula, and I had a word from the Lord that I'm supposed to give. I've got a message for Paul Crouch Jr. and for the little Italian guy, but I knew his name then. And he looked at me rather strange, and I don't blame him, but he said, come with me. He took me by the hand, walked me across the studio, down the steps into the green room where there's this massive pile of fruit and food. He says, wait here. So I wait about 5 minutes, and out comes the little Italian guy. And the singer introduces me to him and says, this is Pastor Vincent Xavier, and he has a message for you. And Mark Sharona, that's his name, Mark Sharona. And Mark Sharona says to me, he says, how are you? And he's looking in my eyes. I said, Mark, I've got a message for you, and this is what the Lord says. I spoke the word to him. I gave him a piece of paper that was in my hand, and he looked at me, and he came up to me, and he just gave me a hug, and he just hugged me, and he said, thank you for that. And then he had to get on a plane. I said, oh, very cool. Okay, I can't believe that happened in the first place. God arranged the whole thing. So now we walk upstairs, and, you know, it's impossible to meet with Paul Crouch Jr., and there's all these people's hanging around the studio, and I'm talking to a security guard, comes up to me, talking about the guy that died yesterday. And as we're talking, I look to my left, and about 10 feet away from me is Paul Crouch Jr. just standing there. He's not talking to anybody. He's just standing there. So I say to the security guard, excuse me. I turn, and I walk up to Paul, and I says, hello, Paul Crouch. My name is Vincent Xavier. I'm a pastor. And about 2 hours ago, I was in my bathtub, and I was, you know, and I went through the whole story. They must have thought I was crazy. And I said, but I've got a word for you. And I delivered the word that God had given me in my bathtub. He looked at me, and he said, that was the exact word my mother and father and Benny Hinn just spoke over me a few nights ago at one of our meetings. And I said, so this is a confirmation? He said, yes, it is. And I gave him, I had a little book that I had written called The Third Day. I handed it to him, and I said, here it is. So then I saw Nasser Siddiqui and said hello, and I got in my car, and I started driving back home, and I'm bawling my eyes out saying, what just happened? And God spoke to me so clearly by his Holy Spirit and said, this is the activity that I desire to accelerate among my people in this earth, but they're not listening to me and they're not hearing me. They're not able, but you have been fasting now 13 days and your spirit was more open to hear and to see and to receive, and your willingness to obey what you saw and what you heard has caused this all to happen. And every single thing, I never knew Mark Sharona. I never met Paul Crouch. I had no authority in TBN. There was no way that this could have happened, but it was an assignment from God. Go and do this and go and do that. And I don't think it was as much for them as it was for me to realize that a time would come when God would want to activate his people around the world to move in this supernatural way. Like the guy, get up and go and anoint Saul and pray for him. And ladies and gentlemen, this is a moment just like that, but it's not for individuals. It is for the corporate body of Christ to be employed in this moment, because it's a dispensation. Something big is ready, something huge. I'm telling you these things because these are the words of God. This is what he's stirring. This is what he's stirring. Now, I could go right now and just shift and talk a little bit about Pearl Harbor, which I really need to do. But I'd like to open. I notice there's a lot of people listening in today, and I bless you guys for being on the line with me. And if you have any thoughts or questions, or you want to comment about what you're hearing, you want to share anything, just press 1 on the dial pad. And if you're listening by Omega Radio Network, or you're out there on the internet somewhere listening to us, just dial the number 818-369-0326. 818-369-0326 will get you in, and then press 1 on your dial pad, and I'll make sure to bring you into the broadcast and hear your thoughts about what you believe God is saying in these last 2 weeks on this Omega Radio Network, which began 2 Mondays ago. And it has been something truly supernatural. Now, on another note, while I'm waiting, violence is breaking out on the West Bank in Bethlehem as Hamas calls for an uprising. And Turkey is now warning Trump that he has pulled the pin on a bomb after the president recognized Jerusalem as Israel's capital. So violence is breaking out, folks. I'm telling you, the darkness is getting exponential, but the light is ready to shine. U.S. President Donald Trump sparked fury across the Middle East. You know that by recognizing Jerusalem as Israel's capital yesterday. The Palestinian protesters are seen hurling rocks while Israeli troops fired tear gas to disperse crowds in Bethlehem. Now, pro-Hezbollah newspaper Al Akbar carried front page saying death to America, along with burning the U.S. flag. Turkish Prime Minister Binali Yildirim said America had pulled the pin on a bomb ready to blow in the region. And Hamas has called for days of rage and a new Intifada uprising after saying Trump has opened the gates of hell. Israeli military are to deploy extra troops to the West Bank, with mass Palestinian protests expected on Friday. And Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu claims other states are now considering following America's lead. Ladies and gentlemen, the powder keg is ready to blow. It's a provocative moment. The question is America clean enough to win? Are we pure enough? Are we sanctified enough? Have we repented enough? Or is the church in America ready to be activated in a supernatural way to bring kingdom reality to what's coming on the earth? And I do believe that many, many, many things are coming on the earth. I believe a massive earthquake is ready to shake Southern California. I believe that with all of my heart. The timing is in God's hands. Others have believed it. I believe it as well. I believe that a massive shaking. California just legalized marijuana. So now you have California, Oregon, Washington, the three states on the West Coast, pro-abortion. They are most liberal and progressive. They're legalizing marijuana. They're legalizing the things that God condemns. There is a great shaking on the West Coast. It's been all on the East, but eventually there is a prophecy when God is done in the East, he will shift things to the West. And I believe that those fires are just a precursor to the greater judgments that are coming. It is time to get activated. It is time to prepare, not in fear, not in any of that, because the light is ready to break as well. But understand that this supernatural moment, remember when Peter was going to tell the Gentiles about faith in Christ, there was a great persecution at the same time breaking out against the saints of God. Persecution was breaking out against the church. This is not just a stable moment where everything is nice and we just go on these little journeys. No, this is an intensified, critical moment in the history of our nation and around the world. Something big is about to happen globally. This is a dispensation. Yes, there is a shift that is ready to happen for God's eternal purpose, but there is also Bible prophecy being fulfilled at this time. I'm waiting for your call, 818-369-0326, or just press 1 on the dial pad if you're already listening in. Would love to hear from you. You see, I'm going to stick to the Word. I'm going to stick to the Word. Now I want to go for just a moment. We're awfully quiet. No, we're just listening. So the attack on Pearl Harbor, today we're remembering, was a surprise military strike by the Imperial Japanese Navy Air Service against the United States Naval Base at Pearl Harbor, Hawaii territory on the morning of December 7th, 1941. The attack, also known as the Battle of Pearl Harbor, led to the United States entry into World War II. Wow, is there something going to cause us to enter into World War III? Was this provocative move by the White House yesterday the provocative linchpin? That's what they're saying. The powder keg's ready to blow. Well, the Japanese military leadership referred to the attack as the Hawaii Operation and Operation AI or AL and as Operation Z during its planning. So the Japan intended the attack as a preventative action to keep the U.S. Pacific Fleet from interfering with military actions they planned in Southeast Asia against overseas territories of the United Kingdom, the Netherlands, and the United States. Well, over the next 7 hours, there were coordinated Japanese attacks on the U.S.-held Philippines, Guam, and Wake Island, and on the British Empire in Malaya, Singapore, and Hong Kong. So the attack commenced at 7:48 a.m. Hawaiian time. The base was attacked by the Imperial Japanese aircraft, including fighters, level and dive bombers, and torpedo bombers, in two waves launched from six aircraft carriers. All eight U.S. Navy battleships were damaged, with four sunk. All but the USS Arizona were later raised, and six were returned to service and went on to fight in the war. The Japanese also sank or damaged three cruisers, three destroyers, an anti-aircraft training ship, and one mine layer. 188 U.S. aircraft were destroyed, 2,403 Americans were killed, and 1,178 others were wounded. Ladies and gentlemen, while we remember Pearl Harbor and 9/11, we have to understand that things are much more sophisticated today. From dirty bombs being planted in inner cities across the United States, in London, in Europe, wherever, they're going to go with this thing. Whenever the terror cells awake, whenever the jihad, the fatwa, when all these things go forward, everything is much more sophisticated. From the massive nuclear bombs now being revealed in North Korea, with Russia, with the Chinese, with the consternation in the Middle East, with Iran, there are so many things that are happening right now, really, truly, honestly, this is not a time to go to sleep. I was actually at a store yesterday. And when I walked into the store, I was on my way out. Patricia was outside with Max. And one of the ladies that worked there, we said hello because we always see each other. And I said, wow, did you hear what happened with Jerusalem? This is a true story. Yesterday. I said, did you hear what happened with Jerusalem? She says, oh, no, what happened? I said, oh, well, the President Donald Trump declared Jerusalem to be the capital of Israel. And this could be very provocative to the Islamic world. And she said, and she kind of, you know, did one of those things, please stop. And she said, you know, I really don't want to hear that. That's not positive. That's negative. She said, I'd rather just get into my bathtub and light my candles and put beautiful, soft music on. And I looked at her and I said, well, that's a perspective, but this is not something to be afraid about. This is rich Bible history taking place before our very eyes right now. This is not a time to be afraid. This is a time to really rejoice because of where we are. And she said, nah, you know, I don't want to listen to that. I want to listen to the news. It's all so negative. You know, I just want to be left alone in this. And I thought, my God, I was just on a radio broadcast yesterday talking about the proverbial ostrich with his head in the sand and his butt up in the air, how vulnerable that was. And there are people, they don't want to hear this. They don't want to talk about this. They don't want to deal with this. They can't. They're not ready. You know what's going to happen when the powder keg blows. These people's fear levels and panic are going to be off the charts, and you and I have to be prepared not to follow their lead. Believe me when I tell you that. All right, I've got about 4 minutes left in the broadcast. Anybody out there wants to say anything, now's the time to do it. 818-369-0326 is the number to call. Press 1 on your dial pad if you're tuned in right now. I'll be more than happy to bring you into the broadcast. It is Thursday. It is December 7th, 2017. It is time to remember Pearl Harbor. Very interesting timing with what happened yesterday. All kinds of stuff going on in America today. You know what's happening, from Judge Roy Moore and his fight over in Alabama and all the sexual perverse things that are going on within our nation. The skirts of many are being lifted up. The shame is being exposed. But is it enough? Have the last 50 years in our nation of corruption and greed and 80 million innocent babies' blood being shed, is it enough to succeed in this coming battle? I'm not so sure. In fact, my answer is resolutely no, that things will actually backfire because we have crossed the point of no return as a nation. The only thing I could say to you as a Christian believer, thank God your allegiance is to the kingdom of heaven and your government and your king is Jesus Christ. Because this government, not just talking about Donald Trump, this is not anti-Trump. This is about what 50 years have done. This man is here on an assignment, and it may be to provoke everything that God has already said was going to come. And there is great provocation. We have a nation more divided than ever before. And you can't sit back and say in our day, well, just because we're divided, we're still going to win. No, the message is a house divided cannot stand. Ladies and gentlemen, the pressure that is coming against the United States for our licentious lifestyle, come on, for our greed and corruption is so dark. Now, will light shine? Yes. Will people have an opportunity to come to the light? Yes. Listen, if you're tuning in right now, I see just the lines are lit up here, and we're running out of time. And if you want to share anything, press 1 on the dial pad, and I'll make sure to bring you in right away and give you the last 2 minutes of the broadcast. I'd love to hear from you what you're thinking. We're down to 90 seconds. We're going to be going here any moment now. I want to thank you for tuning into the Omega Radio Network. Patricia Joy Xavier is on next. Just stay tuned to the Omega Radio Network and 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, broadcasting to the ends of the earth. I want to welcome our friends from Africa and Pakistan. We got friends from Pakistan that are calling into contacting us on Facebook. But Patricia, I'm going to give you 1 minute. You're calling in real late, but go ahead, 60 seconds.
Did you read what was sent in from Michael Smith?
I'm sorry?
Ezekiel 32. Did you?
Yes, I read that at the very beginning of the broadcast. I read the poem about the watchman. So I'll let you go, but we're down to 30 seconds. Go ahead.
Thank you. I will take my time off.
Okay. You're awesome. All right, Patricia, we're going to say goodbye. It was read. Patricia wanted me to make sure that the poem that was read at the beginning of the broadcast today was heard again. So go back 15 minutes from now. Everything will be archived. You'll be able to share this time with anybody that you would like or this message. I hope you were blessed today in some way. We got into a lot of scripture. You're on assignment. Be available to God. Get ready for the adventure of a lifetime where your life is being employed by God's kingdom. And you're going to be on the move, saints. I can't wait to see what God's going to do in your life. We'll see you tomorrow, Lord willing. I'm Vincent Xavier, pastor of New Wine Ministry Church. You're listening to the Omega Radio Network. We'll see you tomorrow, Lord willing. Shalom and God bless.